church? Why can't we just stay at home and minister to each other? Why do we have to wake up and come? Why do we have to come to church, leave our comfort zone and come to the church? Why can't we go, you know, this morning and be playing games, or we can go to the beach? Why do we need to come to church? Who can answer the question from the congregation? Why church? Why do we need to come to church? You want to say something, Brother Nee? Praise the Lord. Our brother is saying that the reason we come to church is we come to be serviced, just like the way we take our vehicles to the mechanic, that we come to the word of to the church, so that we hear the word of God, and the word of God will help us in our Christian living. Praise the Lord. And again, to add to what our brother has said, can we quickly open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verses 24 to 25. Hebrews 10:24 to 25. See. Praise the Lord. You see, that we should consider ourselves, you know, stir up each other in love unto good works, you know, proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, evangelizing to people, telling Christ, you know, spreading the good news. That is the reason we come to church. And the Bible is a commandment. The Bible says we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves. You know, we come to the church every Sunday, you know, to come to meet with other Christian brothers and sisters. We hear the word of God. The word of God that we hear in the church will help us, you know, in the way we conduct ourselves in this Christian journey. We all know that here, you know, we are here, but we have a mission, we have a purpose, you know. The essence of our Christianity is to make heaven, is to reign with Christ. So that is part of the reason we come to the church. We rub hearts with people of likewise belief, and from there we share from each other and we provoke each other to good works. Good works is that we go out there, do, you know, spread the gospel and do, you know, Jesus Christ is our perfect example. We do, you know, those things that we have learned from the word of God. We go out there, because that is why I said it last week. I said that is why the Bible says that we are the epistle people read, you know. So part of coming to the church is that it's a commandment. And when we come to the church to be serviced, you know, we hear the word of God and it will help us in our daily living. You know, you say it is God's intention to gather his people together as a church, just like we have read in Hebrews 10:24. You know, this presents many advantages to the body of Christ, including building up each other in words and in mentoring. You know, we're going to be looking at the advantage of coming to church. Let's quickly look at Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. Titus is after 2 Timothy. I want two people to read. Advantage of coming to the church, you know, mentoring is one of them. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 14.
Second, sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound peace, speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of having no evil thing to say of you, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, jealous of good work.
Praise the Lord. If you look at it, we are talking about the part of the reason why we come to church, for mentoring. If you look at where our sister has read for us, it's Apostle Paul is just a summary of, you know, how to encourage different age in the church, you know, encourage different people in the church to be the pattern of behavior, you know. He said that, like the church, you know, that we should practice, provoke each other unto good works, that we should, you know, we should not come to church to be bad influence on other. We should walk in the according to the word of God, so that we, you know, it's encouraging older women here. Said older women in the church to provide good example for the younger people. You know, we the older ones in the church, we are not the one who is going to be encouraging the younger one, you know, to be disobedient to their own husband. We have to support them, to encourage them, even as they read the word of God, and we have to support them through example. You know, will the older one should not be the one sin, you know, arguing, you know, being disobedient to our husband, even in the church. So we have to show an example unto good work. He said the young men to encourage the younger one in the church unto good work, you know, attending, you know, coming to church, attending Bible studies, weekly activities, even working, you know, for the kingdom of God in the local church. You have to see the good of the local church, the young men, you know, bringing people together to pray. So it's the men, you know, the younger one should encourage the young men, because we are all young, so we encourage the younger one, you know, and they have to be an example. You know, he's talking about sound doctrine here. He's talking about sensible and responsibility, you know. Just like we are doing Bible study now, you know, we have to be very careful in the church. We have to listen properly. You know, we have to be careful what we say so that we don't bring confusion. It's telling us a pattern of behavior in the church. You know, some of us, you know, some people, they like to bring confusion anywhere they go. As the word of God is being preached, any opportunity they have to talk, they will go to the controversial aspect of the word of God. You know, it's telling us that we have to be very careful so that we don't confuse people. Because, you know, the power to live a Christian life, we all, just like we know, if we look at the last verses where he read, it's actually come from God himself. And that is why, as a born-again Christian, we have to daily desire, you know, to live a life that is patterned after Christ. That's why we have to separate time to go into the word of God and study the Bible, you know, for ourselves, so that we'll be able to know it. And, you know, as we do this one, as a church, and even as a child of God, we are waiting patiently for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and God will help us in Jesus' name. So part of coming to church, the advantage of coming to church is to see people who we mentor. It's for mentoring. Then number two, you know, coming to church serves as a cover from wolves who are in sheep clothing. We know. Let's quickly look at the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 28 to 31. Acts of Apostles. Please, we can go ahead by opening the Bible. If you look at our bulletin, so that we can be ahead because of time. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. I want people to read, because when you read it, it makes sense to you. not the teacher reading. You know, when we read, we don't forget. Let's start from verses 28 to 31.
And the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you bishops and guardians to shepherd, that is, tend and feed and guide the church of the Lord or of God, which he obtained for himself, buying it and saving it for himself with his own blood. I know that after I'm gone, ferocious wolves will get in among you, not sparing the flock. Even from among your own selves, men will come to the front who, by saying perverse, distorted, and corrupt things, we endeavor to draw away the disciples after them to their own party. Therefore, be always alert and on your guard, being mindful that for 3 years I never stopped night or day seriously to admonish and advise and exhort you one by one with tears.
Praise the Lord. You know, coming to a church, you know, if you have a church that you go, you know, you don't fall for all sort of false doctrine. You know, if you don't have a local church where you attend, people with false doctrine will come. This person will come, you fall for it. Another one will come, you go for it, you know. So it's coming to church. If you have a local church where you go to, you know, you know, it will shield us from falling into the hand of the false teachers, you know, just like the Bible has warned us. You know, when you come, you know that in you have a regular place of worship you go, where the undiluted word of God is being preached. So it will be difficult for you to fall into the hand of those false doctrine. And there are many of them at this land, those of us that are Christian, of the end time, we end time Christian, we have to be very careful so that we should not fall into the hand of the false teachers. And that is why it's very important for us, just like the Berean Christian in the book of Acts, you know, anytime they come to the church, when they hear the word of God, they go back home, they check it, and look at it, you know. When we come to the church like this, we hear the word of God, we should not just bury our Bible. We should look at it and look at what the preacher is saying, and the Holy Spirit will guide us in all understanding in Jesus' name. You know, corporate prayers, you know, coming to church enhance corporate prayers. Let's quickly look at the book of Matthew chapter 18, 19. It's a very popular Bible passage that we all pray with. Matthew 18, 19. Advantage of coming to church. Yeah.
It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Praise the Lord. You know, we come together as a child, as a Christian, as a child of God, you know, we come and say, and two of us, we pray, corporate prayer, we pray here, and it says, the Bible is saying that if two or three people shall agree, come together in my name, that whatever we ask for, that it will be done for us. So that is part of coming to the church, you know. I'm not saying that church is the only place that we can pray. The Bible says that we should put on the attitude of prayer. This means that we can pray anywhere. The only thing we need to do on our part is we have to have the right attitude. You know, we have to be righteous, you know. We can't continue in sin. And if we are in sin, we will not be able to lift up our hand to pray. So when the Bible says we should be in the attitude of prayer, it's not that we should be praying, we should be leaning down praying everywhere. We have to be right with God at any time so that we'll be able to call upon him when there's need for it, you know. And the church also, just like we know, is a place for impartation and transfer of the Holy Spirit. You know, the church has an intercessory function, both directly and indirectly. You know, the Holy Spirit, the anointing is being transferred. It's part of what the church is for. You know, church provides interpretation of the word, leading to doctrine, and set a pattern of Christian conduct based on the word of God. Can we quickly open our Bibles to 1 Peter 4? 1 Peter 4.
For the time has arrived for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not respect or believe or obey the good news, the gospel of God? And if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the godless and wicked? Therefore, those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with God's will must do right and commit their souls in charge as a deposit to the one who created them and will never fail them.
Praise the Lord. Now, if you look at what we have read, it says judgment will, you know, start from the church, from the household of God. It means correction, you know. Part of the reason why we come to the church is that sometimes we have a pattern of doing things. Then when we look at the pattern and look at the word of God, then we stand for correction. We'll be corrected by coming to the church. And sometimes when the preacher is preaching, you know, sometimes you can stand as a correction to us. The preaching of the word of God may stand as a correction for us. And sometimes, even because we are a Christian, we come to a local church and you are doing something that is wrong. So the people, the brothers, the sister who love you, because anybody you love, you tend to correct. Jesus Christ loved us and he corrects us. So you correct them. So, and it's getting us ready in preparation for the work ahead, because we know that if we don't live right, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So part of the reason why church is for correction. And sometimes that's why I marvel when people come to the church and say, oh, the preaching is talking about me. If the preaching is not, or even the preacher sometimes is talking, but he or she still have to say what the word says. He's talking about her too, but he needs to say the word of God without fear or favor. So that's why I marvel when people say, oh, the preaching is about me. It's about everybody. Anytime you come to the church and the word is being preached and there's nothing in the word to correct you, then I think the word is not being preached. Praise the Lord. It says part of coming to church, you know, we are like family. I remember we used to sing that we are God's family. You know, the church is like a family to see to the welfare of its member. Can we quickly look, open our Bible to the book of Acts chapter 4 verses 33 to 35. Acts of Apostle. Yes, sir.
Apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold.
Praise the Lord. That is the LA church. We see the LA church here. They are like families. So that is how we are supposed to be. You know, this is our local church. You know, I used to tell people, I say, if anything should happen to me today, that you people will be the first people I will see. I say, even by the time I will even call my biological parents back, wherever they may be, it will take like 3 months before they come. It's not even before they will come here. I say, you people will be the first person that we see. You know, look at them. Because of the love of Christ in them, you know, they have unity, you know, because so that they are able to share. You know, they share property, they share burden. You know, it's not good time that we share together, even hard times, you know, when things are not going well as a family, we share. You know, it is because of the Christ in them that brought, you know, the love of Christ in them brought unity. You know, the love of Christ in each and every one of us as a member of a local church will bring unity. I remember this morning the pastor was saying that, you know, visiting people, that if you don't see somebody in the church, that you should not leave it for the pastor and the wife to go and look after them. That you should propose in your heart, just start, get up. Oh, brother, I've not seen you for how many weeks now. Go and visit them. You know, that is part of the love we are talking about. The love of Christ in us will bring us together in his name. So it's very important. That is part of the reason why we come to church. We see ourselves as family, and we are, you know. That is why it's very important, you know, to come together as a child of God in the church, and you see each other as brothers and sisters, that we should not divide ourselves. We are one. Praise the Lord. So I think because of our time, I'll leave the rest 3 minutes for question. Anything I've not, you know, talking about why church. Part of the reason why we come to church is a commandment. We come to the church for mentoring. The church shielded from the cover of the false, you know, prophets, false doctrine. And we come to church, you know, for corporate prayers, impartation. And the church is like a family. Our local church is like a family. We sing after church that we are one. So that is why it's very important for us to be able to share things. I tell people that if you know a brother in the church, or even as a Christian, you know a Christian brother who has not even eaten for one day, and the brother came and said, oh, see, this is my situation, I've not eaten for one day, and you have $100 in your pocket, and you just said to the brother, let's pray, and you are not able to take $20 out of that after praying, and take $20 out of that $100 and say, brother, you can buy sandwich with this one, and see that one as that is not a somebody who see the other brother as his or her family. So we should be able to share. It may be difficult, but it was difficult for Christ too. So we should be able to see each other, and go when we go through things, we should be able to stand by each other in prayer and support physically, whatever we can do. Questions, additions? Why church? We are talking about why church. Hallelujah.
I'm not a cyclist a lot, but I love to just, you know, sometimes just listen to the comments and how, even though you see them riding as individuals, they actually ride as teams. And they identify who in the team has the potential. If you look at it, if you watch very well and they listen to the commentary and understand the way it is organized, you find out that at times, I mean, most of the time, what happens is the team actually work together, wanting a member of the team to win. They know those the one who is very strong. They know the Lance Armstrong amongst them. They know who is likely that year to do well. And it comes to a point where the other team members are actually running, you know, to make sure that this person gets ahead. So, and the Bible is saying to us here, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, that was read to us, it says, "And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up," that is, stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. So in other words, as children of God who has responsibility for the world to see that people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Bible is also saying that there are going to be times when some of us will be struggling. There are going to be times when some of us feel like giving up. There's going to be times when some of us feel like we are discouraged. And he's saying that we must hold each other's hand, encouraging. He said, actually study. Look at it very well. He says, consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over. In other words, you are looking at this sister and seeing that their countenance has changed. You know a sister that when they come to church, they are often ebullient and, you know, they praise God, they sing, they do, and suddenly they are no longer doing that. And nobody is asking them, what is happening to you? You know a brother who is always participating, he wants to see the work of God go forward, and nobody is asking them. I'm not saying asking for the purpose of, you know, for negative purpose. I'm saying ask not just to know their matter so you can say, I'm better than that brother, I'm better than that sister. You are asking because you are genuinely concerned. You want to know why they are no longer fervent. You know a brother or a sister who comes to midweek services, and suddenly you no longer see them. And you are not going to them to ask them, brother, what's happening? You are the one we used to look up to. It was because you were coming that many of us were coming, you know, wanting to be, to make sure that, I mean, I know brother so and so will be here, and so will come. And you are no longer coming. I hope nothing is the problem. They tell you about it. What can we do? Can we pray about it? Is it something we need to approach the pastor about? Is it something we need to take up? Is it something that something can be done about? Encouraging. It's a studying to see how you can help. So it's not just something we do out of chance. It's something that we deliberately do to make sure that as we run the race, we are holding each other's hands. The only person you are not holding their hand is the person who is going backwards. Who wants to pull you backwards. If he now says, oh, brother, sister, look, why is this happening? And he says, is something wrong with you? It looks like you've taken this thing too far. Look me, I go to the club, oh. You just come and you see, you enjoy. When it gets into that point, you run away. Praise the Lord. But when you know somebody is struggling, that is part of what the church is doing. He says, provoking each other unto good work, inciting, you know, encouraging, pushing each other to do what is good. I know in some places, and I mean it in a negative way, because I mean there are times when we do things as a way of showing up. That's not what it's meant to be. But I know in some places, people, when it comes to like the things of God, people want to, let me be careful, try to outdo each other. I'm not talking, because you may try to outdo each other, not necessarily because you want the pastor to announce you as the greatest donor to the church. Without you, the church will have collapsed. No, that is not it. But we're talking about people who will give behind the scene and even say, don't mention it. We've had people before who say, please don't say it, but just give. So that is the kind of life that Christ expects that we'll be living. That as children of God, we are motivating one another. Just at the time that somebody is about to give up in serving God, and he sees another sister or another brother firing up and saying, look, it's not a lost cause. You may see somebody falling. No, that is not our story. Let's keep doing it, because if we faint not, we will reap the reward. You are moving somebody forward. You are encouraging somebody. You are the one person that somebody is looking up to. That is our role. That is why the church is there. It's not the, you won't be the type that they say, oh, that brother offended me. You see, that church self. Why do you even go there? We can swear. I mean, can't we? Anybody can pray in their house. What do they even think they are? You are not the one who is causing division. You are not the one who is causing dissension. You are not the one who is causing confusion. But you are the one who is bringing the people of God together. And I pray that more than man can explain, that God himself will expand his word in our minds, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank you once again for your word this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power to do your word. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that we received this morning. And Lord and our God, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen.